It's good to be home. It's really just been waiting. It's hard to say we're going and doing ministry at the Bridge. You know, it's to come in and see all you. And again, it's just really incredible. It's really overwhelming to be here in the most wonderful way. And Kate and I and the kids are just so delighted. Mark said, come and visit, but we say, come east, and maybe we'll have some more of you. we've had some of you. We are delighted that Ken and Brenda and Joanne and Maureen have come, and they settled with us. And so you guys have blessed us beyond. They're such a delight, and it's just incredible, you know, what God is doing, what God is building in our midst. I was reading this morning 1 Timothy 1:18. It says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well. And it really just stirred so deeply in my heart, this older apostolic translocal was just speaking to someone he was raising up into apostolic translocal, and that's been my journey with Mark and Bridget. I mean, it's just been incredible. 16 years. We got a picture of Mark sitting with Madeline as an infant in Mark's arms. 16 years, and so it's been 16 years of Mark and Bridget raising us up into what we're walking in now. And I just want to honor you guys. So I want to thank you. It's just incredible. And this was, as we were worshiping, I just had this consistent sense as I was, Mark was just worshiping beside you, and I just felt the Lord say, you're a general. That he just started to show me, the whole time worshiping, he just started to show me the weight that he's given you to carry, and the weight that you can carry, and the capacity that you have. And I just felt the Lord say, look at what my son is carrying, and there's just more. Like, there's just so much more for to come. And I just was so excited. So I'm just worshiping the Lord, and I'm dancing, and I'm this consistent just download of the Lord saying, look at what I've got. There's just more. So anyway, wanted to just share that. I'm excited to be here. So we've been... I was going to bring this down a little. I know I'm tall, I'm not quite that tall. There we are. Wow. There we are. Okay, that's maybe too much. We'll deal with that. We'll work that thing out. So, went on vacation in December, and 2 weeks vacation. It was a really odd time to have it, but it was great because there's just nothing happening, right? So, like a week and a half, we just sat there and just read and hung out, and it was awesome. And usually on vacation, you know, we get these beautiful revelations and visions and what's to come and what the Lord wants to have for the church. And there's like just nothing. And like the last like 2 days, like I'm just like, Lord, like it's okay, but something is, you know, to come back to, you know, coming back into the church, you want to have this like reviving time. And the Lord said two things to me. If you have grace for the first one, he said, he wanted me to get in better shape physically, so have grace on me, so we're working on that. And just reignite that passion in my heart. This is more important than the next one. That he wanted to break into the region of Halifax through miracles. I didn't come up with it. This isn't some kind of plan that we had. This isn't some kind of enacting, some kind of vision. The Lord just says, I want to reach Halifax with miracles. Yeah. Cool. And it's not that we haven't seen miracles, right? But I just felt the Lord take me on this journey. And so I've been there since mid-December until like today. And I've been just in this place of the Lord just speaking and breaking and moving and shifting and adding and just this beautiful season. So this is a season that we've been on at Anchor City Church. And so I just felt to bring some of that this weekend. And so, we live in the natural, and when the Lord comes, He moves us from the natural and into the supernatural. The natural, He takes us from our five senses and what our mind can understand, and He replaces that with the supernatural. God operates in the supernatural. Jesus has created the natural, but He's on His throne right now overseeing a kingdom that is completely supernatural. The body of Christ is absolutely and completely supernatural. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a supernatural person with a supernatural identity and a supernatural inheritance. And so the Lord is calling us to come out of the mundane, to come out of the heaviness, to come out of the day-to-day, and to step into the supernatural. Every day, He's calling us to live in the supernatural. He wants to break us out of that which is natural. We have this beautiful inheritance awaiting for us, as we'll come into it. Tonight, I just want to lay some foundation, and I want to lay some foundation out of Romans 4, and I'm going to look at the life of Abraham. And so I'm going to read Romans 4, 16, 17. It says, that's why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Okay, so Paul is writing, and he wants to help the people in Rome understand the foundation of who they are and where their inheritance comes from. There's some aspect here of the law, and he's saying, listen, your inheritance is not in the law. It's not in Moses. When we look back to the Old Testament, we don't look back as followers of Christ to Moses. We thank him for the law because the law helps us understand that we need Jesus. We look back to Abraham. And why do we do that? Because Abraham is a father of faith. And you can only live in what God has for you if you live in faith. You can only accept what's in the supernatural is to be founded upon faith. And faith is that which you can't see. And so Paul starts to examine and help us understand what faith is. He says in verse 17, he says, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. By faith we believe God created the world. He took something that didn't exist and made it exist. By faith, God has made us new creations. We are outside of his kingdom. We are brought into his kingdom. By faith, we were not righteous, and now he has made us righteous. By faith, we see things that don't exist come into existence. That's supernatural living. The Lord wants you and I to live a life that we see things not yet in the natural, that don't exist, that he wants them to exist. What are you trusting for tonight? What did you come trusting for this weekend? Are there things in your life that don't exist that you want to exist? Yeah. Are there things in your life that don't exist in the natural that can and will exist in the supernatural. Yeah. You can't see them. You can't attain them. There's nothing that you can do in the natural to receive them. Do you have any of those things? These are the things that we're speaking about this weekend. So you may not have come with a list. That's okay. You've got tonight. You can go before the Lord and say, Lord, what are the things in my life that I would love to see according to your will come into my life? The things that don't exist, what do I want to come from non-existence to exist? That's faith. That's supernatural. That is where God moves. That's where he wants to move. That's where he's calling us to move. We're not begging God to do something. We're just saying, Lord, this is your will. We live by faith. You're supernatural. I'm just calling on your character to move into the things that God has for you. So you're not trying to convince God of anything. He already is who he is. Let's move into verse 18. It says, in hope, which I think a better translation of that word is expectation. He believed against hope, expectation, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. And I first want to just speak for a moment and define the word hope. Now, hope can sometimes mean that we hope it'll happen. We hope it might happen someday. Yeah, right. and that can sometimes be our prayer. Lord, I pray that you heal this person. Like, that's our prayer. But we're doing it like, Lord, that might happen someday. Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, that's what hope can be. Now, there's a good hope. There's a hope of, I know that I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus for eternity because I've placed my faith in him. And I have hope in that. And I'm excited about that. And that's the foundation that I can live on. Yeah. But when I pray, I'm not called to pray in hope. I'm called to pray in faith. Yeah. Good. Very good. If you don't believe me, let's ask Jesus. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you pray, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. The words of Jesus. It's the same word. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you've asked for in prayer, believe. It's the same word for pistis, faith, pistuo, the core word, Greek word, that Abraham talked about Abraham just a moment ago. Abraham believed. He was filled with expectation, but at the end of the day, he believed God was going to deliver. Pardon the pun on the child. That wasn't a bad joke. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you have, in the Greek, that's the aorist tense. And that whenever you see an aorist tense in Greek, get really excited. Because it means that it's something that happens, it's a now moment that then changes everything going forward. Believe that you have received it and that it will be, future tense, yours. That's how we're called to pray. So when you pray, don't pray in hope. Hope is wonderful, but don't pray under that. Pray under faith. Well, what does that mean? It means that when I lay hand on a sick person to be healed, I'm going to believe by faith that has happened the moment that I've laid my hands on that person. Yeah. Aorist tense. And now I'm going to wait for that to happen. That might be a few seconds. It might be a few years. But I'm now going to stand in faith that has happened. Yeah. I'm not going to hope that God might come through someday. I'm going to stand in faith that has happened. Yeah. There's a big difference. Because it's a mindset change, it's a heart set change, because now it's like, now I'm excited. It's like, I prayed for this person, and for X, whatever that is, and now it's happened in supernatural, and now I'm going to thank the Lord Jesus until I see it. and I'm going to stand on it. And do you know why I'm going to pray that way? Because Jesus has asked me to. Because Mark 11, 24 says so. Church, what do you want to stand in faith for? What do you want to pray for and with expectation and excitement like Abraham until you see it? Okay, let's move into Abraham now. Verse 19, it says, Abraham did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, literally now already dead in the Greek, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, and the Greek means considered the death of Sarah's womb. That's very strong, but that's what it says. Nekros. So as Abraham was 100 years old, there was nothing, oh, thanks, man. There was nothing in the natural that was going to make this child come. I mean, think about it for a minute. Like, think of Abraham, Sarah going to like a doctor and just walking in and just like 190, walking into the doctor's office saying like, I just can't figure out why we're not conceiving. Like, I just can't, like, I just, what's going on here, doctor? Like, I don't think the doctor's going to come up with like some natural explanation. He's going to look at them like they're crazy. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? Abraham had none of that. Because God had said that they were going to bear a child. Because God said it. So Abraham lived in the supernatural. He would not allow himself to live in the natural. And so the question is, do we allow ourselves to live in the natural, or do we expect the supernatural because we are supernatural people? Right? There's a whole list of reasons that Abraham and Sarah could have figured out, we could have filled in the blanks, why they weren't going to conceive that child. But because God had spoken it, it had moved them from the natural into the supernatural. And he did so because, we're told in verse 20-21, says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith and as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Did you hear that? Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So when I read the word of God, it means that whatever promises are there, am I fully convinced that God is able to do it? Now, I can let Jesus off the hook and say, well, I'm not sure if he's a man of his word. Like, if I tell you something, like tomorrow I'll be somewhere at 5 o'clock. It's going to be honoring, you're going to honor me more if you take me at my word and you think I'll actually be there at 5 o'clock. If I say it and you say, well, Dan said that, but let's let him off the hook, that's a big ask. There's no honor there. So every time we take God at his word, we're honoring him. We're giving him honor. Saying, Lord, in the natural, not possible, but I'm going to honor you because you said it. I'm not going to dilute you to the natural. I'm going to come up into where you're at in the supernatural. See, because there's two ways that we can handle the word of God. Because if you start taking the word of God like seriously, I'm not saying that you don't, because I know that you do, but if you actually believe what God says in every word about in the scripture, life starts to get a little crazy. Like if you actually don't let him off the hook and you honor him enough that you'll take him at his word, if he says it, he'll do it. See, there's two ways to handle this. We can do what's called mental agreement. We can say, okay, I agree that this is true, but we don't actually live it. We don't actually press beyond that. We have mental agreement, but we don't actually walk in what God said. There's either mental agreement or faith. Faith means I'm going to read God's word and I'm going to honor him and I'm going to walk in it. See, we only walk in what we have faith for. I can come here this weekend and I can just spurt out all these wonderful scriptures and I can say, you know, three or four funny jokes and whatever. But you know if I believe it or not, whether you look at my life. You know whether I'm giving mental assent to. It's like, yeah, that's truth. I believe that's truth, but we don't walk in it. Or faith, which means, God, I'll take you at your word, and I'm going to stand in it until I see it. And God is on his beautiful journey to take us into that place. You say, well, I might not have faith. That's okay. You think I've got faith yet for everything God says in his word? It's this process. But as I'm filling myself with his word, because what? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of the Lord, right? So you might be coming tonight and it's like, well, I don't have faith of this yet, and I don't have the faith of Abraham, and maybe you do. But if you don't, the Lord's saying, that's all right, my son, my daughter. Some condemnation here. I want to build you into that. Yeah. I want to teach you my character. I want to teach you your inheritance. I'm going to teach you that I'm a man of my word. I'm going to teach you that what I say goes. I'm going to teach you that doesn't matter what happens in the natural, it's what I declare in the supernatural. And Jesus wants you to live in that.
Yes.
All of it. If you think that Jesus wants you to live in anything less than every word that he's written, just break that off right now in Jesus' name. It's not true. Verse 22. This is why his faith was counted him as righteous. God saw the faith of Abraham and counted him as righteous. We see that faith moves the heart of God. Mark 5:34 reads, and Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Faith moves the heart of God. When you honor him and take him at his word, it moves him. He does things that he wouldn't have done otherwise. How do I know? Because we read Matthew 13:58, it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of the lack of faith. God is looking for faith in his people. He wants to be taken at his word. You know, you can get a little, it gets a little interesting here, because they say, well, am I not healed because of my lack of faith? You tell me. All I can say is this, is if you have absolutely no faith for God to move according to his word, I would encourage you to let God build faith in you as you pray for things. If you don't have faith for something, and I'm not saying anyone in this room isn't healed because of like, that's not what I'm saying. You can, just for the record, if you have any issues with what I'm saying this weekend, you can email me, direct me, let me have it. My email is Mark Elwood. But let's at least challenge ourselves a bit. Because that's such a no-go subject. But let's at least say, can we at least say this? Let God build faith in your heart for things that he's trusting you to pray for.
Yeah.
Actually believe him that he's going to come through.
Good. Yeah.
And if you don't have that yet, say, listen, I don't have faith for that yet. But I will get on before God and let him give me faith through his word. That's just honest. So I just wanted to, when Abraham's passed his test, he took God at his word and believed him. And so let's now open up our eyes and say, Lord, if you say it in the word, I take you at your word.
Yeah.
Why not throw in 2 Corinthians 5:17? This will be just fun for us to go through. Now here's something. Kate and I worked at a children's camp, basically camp, so we actually met. And it's an interview, she got the job. Hello. It's great. It's totally off subject. But what we would do, this would be memory verse, and we'd have different voices, and we'd have 100 kids in the woods shouting. And we'd have this guy dress up in a fake pony costume called Roger, and Roger would dance around, and the more the kids shouted, the more this guy danced around. So I was wondering if we could put Mark in a fake pony costume to dance around, you guys can show.
Yeah.
So if you guys have a fake pony costume anywhere, we'll need that this weekend. That's going to be important. Sure. Hey, anything. I'll take anything, really. First, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The word new is kainos, Greek word for creation, cosmos. Means an actual action of creation, a creation moment of time. The same word used in Romans 1:20, speaking about God creating the world, is the same word that's used here, talking about God making you a new creation. There is a creation event that happened. When you placed your faith in Jesus, there was a creation event that happened. Do you know how we talked about going from non-existence into existence? You did not exist in his kingdom, and now you do exist in his kingdom. You did not have righteousness, but now you have righteousness. You were not a son or daughter of the Most High God. Now you are a daughter or son of the Most High God. There was a creation event that happened that brought you from the natural into the supernatural. So when the Bible says nothing is the same for you again, it means nothing is the same for you again. What you walk in now, you could not attain the things that God has for you now outside of him. You did not have an inheritance in God, and now you do have an inheritance in God. You did not have favor before God, and now you do have favor before God. You were not a son or daughter of Christ, and now you are a brother or sister of Christ, and now you are that. There was a creation event that happened that changed everything for you in that moment. The old has passed away, the new has come. Kainos. Did you know this word for behold? It doesn't translate well from the Greek into the English. If to try to capture it in the English, you'd have to write behold and then 6 exclamation marks. There was a declaration that rang across all of heaven as soon as you place your faith in Jesus. It would be a shout from the mountaintop by the King himself because of what you've come into. Now that's happened. By faith in Jesus. That can't be taken away. Now here's the thing. All this could have happened to you, but you might still choose to live as though you're in the natural. You might still see the world in the natural. You might still only expect the natural because you've had a long time with that. So you've come in, you've been brought in as a new creation. Everything has changed. The heaven has roared. God has declared. Everything is gone. It's all made new. You're in heaven with him. And you could just go on the next day like nothing happened. And that's why we have Romans 12:2. But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, behold, the new Greek kainos has come. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal. That's anakainos. It's the same root word. So you were a new creation, kainos, but now your mind needs to match your new creation. You need to go from kainos creation to anakainos, a renewal of your mind. There needs to be, you've been made new by spirit, you've been made new, but now your mind needs to be made new as well to match your new identity. And until your mind is made new, anakainos, renewal, you won't live in the supernatural that God has already made you to be. And so you'll wake up the next day thinking that you actually function under the natural, when that's been absolutely broken by the blood of Jesus. So church, we have this beautiful opportunity to have our minds renewed so that we can now live in the supernatural, because you're already there. Stepping into God's truth is kind of getting on like a roller coaster that's just going to go 100 miles an hour. And it just blows away the natural. And brings us into the supernatural in every area of our life. God has supernatural for every area of your life. And we'll talk about that. Every area of your life will be impacted directly because you are a supernatural son or daughter, brought into a supernatural kingdom by a supernatural king, with being a part of a church which is a supernatural entity. Anakainosis, renewal, renewal, everything new. My heart as we gather this weekend is that I'll come in with you and we'll just have this, that I will come into more of what God has for me, and that we will come in together to what God has for each of us. And we will settle for nothing less to honor Jesus.